Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos daf Lamed Aleph. We are holding on daf Lamed Amud Beis. We are at Ella Aha, Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, Omer, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. This is about five lines before the lines get wide on daf Lamed Amud Beis. A shiur sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha, Aleha Shalom. And it's also sponsored by the Basileli family, Lila Nishmas, Elisha ben Shlomo, who's Yartzeit today. The Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to continue to try to find where we said this idea that halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. Where did Rabbi Chanina initially say that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri? So we're going through a whole bunch of different possibilities. And the truth is, most of Amud Aleph is about just discussing Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. So the Gemara is going to say, Rav Papa is going to say that Ashida and Rav Nachman is going to say Ayayin, that there are two particular cases where that Rabbi Chanina might have been referring to. So we're going to go through what those two cases are. What's the case of the Tumah of Ashida, of a box, and what's the case of the status of Yayin? Then on Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to bring a Brisa that's quoted in the name of Rabbi Shimon Shizuri related to a mixture of Tevel into Chulin, and what the best way to solve that problem is when Tevel and Chulin are mixed in with one another, because Midrabanan, Tevel does not become Batel in Chulin, and so the Gemara is going to discuss whether we paskin like him over there as well, meaning do we only paskin like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri in Mishnayis, or do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri in Brisos as well? And then on Amud Beis we go back to the Halachos of Stam, so we're going to have a little bit about if there's a tear in a Sefer Torah, how to mend the tear, when it's a mendable tear, when it's not a mendable tear, and then the Gemara is going to move on to Hilchos Mezuzah. So we're going to start with a brief discussion about the Ksivas HaMezuzah and whether the style of writing could be in the style of Shira or not. We know in the Sefer Torah there are certain parts that are written as a Shira, like Az Yashir with Ariach Al Gabi Levena, or Parashas Hazinu, Ariach Al Gabi Ariach, Levena Al Gabi Levena. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Hilchos Mezuzah in terms of that, as well as the fact that the words Al Ha'aretz go on the very last line of the Mezuzah, and we're going to have a discussion as to whether it goes on the beginning of the last line of the Mezuzah or the end of the last line of Mezuzah. So let's again pick up from Ella Aha, about five lines before the lines get wide, Andaf Lamed Amud Beis. So Ella, when Rabbi Chanina said his din at Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, aha, it was in connection with the following brisa. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Pol HaMitzri, a certain type of bean that they would plant in the ground, and they would eat it like a vegetable. They could either eat it like a vegetable or like a zera, meaning they could either plant it and eat what grows from it, just to eat it. Shizra ol zera, if they plant it for the sake of zera, and therefore its meiser is going to be based on the Shas HaShrasha, because for Zra'im, we look at Shas HaShrasha. But part of it took root before Rosh Hashanah and part after. You can't take Chumas and Maisos from one on the other, because some of it is from the previous year and some of it is from the new year. And the halacha is you don't take Chumas and Maisos from a previous year on the new year, only from this very same year. Ketzad Yasa, so what do you do? Sover garno l'tocho. You have to mix the beans that took root before Rosh Hashanah with the bean that took root after Rosh Hashanah, and you take Chumas HaMaaser from the mixture of the two of them. You mix them together really well. So if you mix it together really well, you take a handful, let's say, in that handful is going to be the same percentage of this year and last year as there is in the entire Torah of this. So it will come out even. it'll come out that you are taking Trumas and Maisros proportionally on this year's produce and proportionally on last year's produce. What's the big chiddush of that? So it's a gevaldika chiddush, actually, because what he's assuming is yesh bila, that it's that when you mix it, it mixes proportionally, that it mixes evenly. So and we're not choshesh that when you take some out to be mafresh, that maybe that's a pocket of last year's produce, and therefore you're being mafresh from last year's stuff on this year's stuff, or that you found a pocket of this year's produce. No, he assumes yesh bila, that it mixes proportionally, and therefore you could be mafresh. So maybe that's where we said initially, that's where Rabbi Chanina had said that the halacha is k'Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. So says Gemara, no, that is not where Rabbi Chanina made that comment, because ha'itmar Allah, Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Because we said that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Ve'im Isa, but if Rabbi Chanina was talking about the case of the Pola Mitzri, Hunami Leima, the Gemara should have said Amr Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, V'chein Amar Ravin Bar Chinina, Amar Ulam Rabbi Chanina, Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. But it did not add that about Rabbi Chanina. It shouldn't have brought Rabbi Yochanan without bringing Rabbi Chanina, if this was the initial place that Rabbi Chanina said Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. So we're still on the lookout. Where did Rabbi Chanina initially say Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon Shazuri? So Ela Amra Papa Ash. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Ayayin. Rav Papa says it's the case of the box, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak says it's the case of the wine. Great. What's the case of the box and what's the case of the wine? So Rav Papa Amar Ashida. Rav Papa says it's going on the din of the box. It's a din in Tumah and Tahara. Ditnan, because there is a Mishnah in the 18th parak of Maseches Kelim that talks about Ashida. It talks about a box or a closet where the halacha is that if it's large enough to hold 40 sa'ah of a liquid measure or 2 kor of a dry measure, which is the size of 1 amma by 1 amma by a height of 3 amos, meaning which is the minimum size of a mikvah, so it no longer is a kli, and it's therefore not going to be makabel tumah when it's that size, because the pasuk says by tumas kelim mikol kli eitz obeged or osak. So Chazal darshin that just like sak is mitaltel maliv reikon, I've called mitaltel maliv reikon, that just like sackcloth is something that could be moved around when it's full or when it's empty. That's the whole point of making a bag, so that you could fill it and still move it. So only a kli that's movable, even when it's full, is going to be mekabel tumah. But a kli that's so large that it holds 40 sa' would never be able to be mitaltel malay, because it's too big to be mitaltel it if it's full. So we're talking about a box that is, if it were more than 40 sa'ah, if it could hold more than 40 sa'ah of a volume, then it is not mekabel tumah. So beishamei omrim nimdedes mibifnim. How do we measure whether it could hold 40 sa'ah? Can it actually hold 40 sa'ah? You measure it from the inside, from the cavity of the box, from the inside of the box. Beisil omrim mibachutz. Beisil says no. You count the space of the thickness of the walls as well in the measurement of the 40 sa'ah. And if the walls are so you measure it as if there were paper thin walls starting from the outside surface of the wall. So the entire thickness of the wall gets included in that measurement. That's how Beis Hillel holds. And the Tiferes Yisrael points out that it's very mistavra what Beis Hillel says, because what's the reason that a kli that's 40 sa'ah is not mekabel tumah? Because it's not metaltel male verekon. It's too heavy. Well, the thickness of the wall of a kli certainly contributes to the weight of the kli, so of course it should include the thickness of the wall. So that's what Tiferes Yisrael explains is the svara for the Beis Hillel. Chazanish said that the Tiferes Yisrael did too good a job explaining Beis Hillel, because it's a yesod in learning that Eluvel Divrei Elokim Chaim, and as well as you explain Beis Hillel, we believe that Beis Shammai can learn it also. The Beis Shammai knows how to learn too. So how could it be that Beis Shammai missed such an obvious thing? So the Chazanish writes that it has to be that this is part that 40 sa'a is just one of the shiurim that Chazal were mekabel, that it's 40 sa'a, and the machlokas is exactly how they were mekabel this shiur. shir. It was just it's not a lumdish machlokas. It's just a machlokas in tradition that they were makabel that there's such a thing as 40 sa'ah. So the whole machlokas is what exactly was the kabbalas chazal umodim elu ve'elu. But both beishame and beisul agree she'en ovi haraglayim, that the thickness of the legs of the box, of the legs of the kli, do not count. Vove halavazbazin, or the legs of the rim of the kli nimdad, that that's not measured together with the kli. Rabbi Yossi Omer, and Rabbi Yossi adds, modim, both Beisham and Bisul agree, sho'ovei raglayim vove halavazbazin nimdad, that they are, they do measure, they do get measured into the size of the kli. They are, as Shidim Gretzes asks, in the name of Rabbeinu Shmuel, how could Rabbi Yossi say that Beisham is modim, that the ovei raglayim are nimdad? He doesn't even count the walls of the kli. Why would the raglayim of the kli count if even the walls of the kli that actually make up the body of the kli do not count? So Shidim Gretzes quotes that he found in Perushim Yeshanim to Masechah Shabbos that Rabbi Yossi holds that Beisham and Bisul were lo nechluku. They both hold that the shida is nimdad mibachutz. That even Beisham actually does agree that there is another girsa, that Beisham actually does agree that the walls of the kli do count, because it's not mistaver to start counting the thickness and the size of the legs of the kli into the 40 sa. They don't hold anything, and you're not going to count the walls of the kli itself, which is the actual body of the kli. But either way, ubeinehen ein nimdad, the airspace between the legs of the kli don't get measured as part of when you're trying to figure out if the kli is large enough. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, but that's where Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, im hoy raglayim gvoz tefach ein beinehen nimdad. If the raglayim are a tefach high, then you do not measure the area in between them, because it's a chash of a makom, so it's considered independent. But v'im lav, if the raglayim are very short and they're less than a tefach high off the ground, then beinehen nimdad, then it's considered just to be an extension of the kli, because it's not chashuv enough to assume its own identity. So that's the case of Shida, where Rabbi Shimon Shazuri said something, and maybe that's what Rabbi Chanina said, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Now it happens to be, I said we're talking about a Shida means a box, a closet. That's how the Rambam and that's how the Bar Tanura understands it. However, Rashi Masechah Shabbos on Daf Mem Dalid says that it's a wagon that's surrounded by mechitzos where people ride on the wagon. So that's what a Shida is. Tosos just asks that if that's the case, then even if it's more than 40 sa, it should be tame, because its primary function is lemedris. Its primary function is for people to sit on it. And even pshute kliyates that are used for medris are tame, because the a kli that's used for medris is not hukash l'sak. The whole idea of metal tamale v'reikam, and that if it's too big, it's not mekabel tuma, is because we say that we link kalim. The Torah makes a hekesh between these kalim and sak. But we don't make medris, and we don't make a hekesh between medris and sak. So therefore, Tosfos explains. First, he says like the Rambam that we're not talking about a wagon. We're talking about a box. We're talking about a closet. We're talking about a chest, or, you know, something like that. And then Tosfos says that maybe if it's meant for riding, it's not considered medris, because you don't look at a wagon and say, oh, that's a comfortable place to sit. It's meant for transport. It's meant for traveling. Medris is a chair, a bed. It's something that's meant dafka for sitting down on. So of course, while you're traveling, you don't want to be standing in the wagon holding on to one of those like subway things the whole time, right? You can have seats in the wagon, but that's not what it's meant for. That's not its primary function. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Yayin. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says that when Rabbi Chanina passed like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, he was talking about the case of Yayin. What's the case of Yayin? Ditnan, there is a Mishnah in Maseches Taharos when it discusses Mashka that's Mekabel Tumah. There are Meir Omer Shemen Tchila Liolam, that Shemen that touches a Tameh item is always considered a Rishon L'Tumah, even if the Shemen touched a Sheni L'Tumah, meaning it defies the normal laws of Tumah, where things always go down a Madrega, other than Cherev Harei Kuchalal, on a Daraisa level, things always go down a Madrega when they contract Tumah from something else. But nevertheless, Shemen touches a Sheni L'Tumah, and the Shemen goes up a Madrega. It becomes a Rishon L'Tumah. Because and that's obviously not a din d'oraisa. Chazal goes Ramashka that it should always be a rishon l'tumah. The Mishnah says in the eighth parak of Meseches Para that kala posel as a truma, anything that will pasel truma is metamias hamashka lios tchila, will turn a mashka into a tchila. So truma can become a shlishi. So kala posel as a truma means anything that is a sheni can even turn a mashka into a rishon. Why? Because gzerim mishum mashkin shnagu b'shem. Because if a mashka were to touch a sheretz, it would be tamei midaraisa. So they were gozer that a mashka that touches anything tamei is going to be tamei midarabanan. Now, why dafka by a mashka and not by ochel? Shouldn't they have been machmir by ochel as well? So Rashi Masech Shabbos explains very pashut, because ochel that touches tamei things, it does not always become tamei. By ochel, there's a din of hechsher lekabel tuma, that it needs to be primed to receive tuma first by coming in contact with one of the zayin mashkim. But a mashka that touches something tamei doesn't need to be pre-primed to be mekabel tuma. It automatically is going to be mekabel tuma. So since it's mashka is more susceptible to tuma, it makes sense that there are going to be more gzeros associated with mashka. So anyway, the Mishnah says that according to Rav Meir, shemen that touches a sheni l'tuma will always become a rishon l'tuma on a drabbanan level. V'chamorim afadvash. The Chum say, you know what else is included in the category of mashka? Honey. Even dvash is considered a mashka. Rabbi Shimon Shazur Omer afayayin, that yayin is even considered a mashka. So says Mar Machal Danakam Sarv Yayin Lo. Yayin is the prototypical mashka. Yayin is the paradigmatic example of a mashka. So what do you mean? Even yayin. The Tanakama holds only shemen, only dvash, and not yayin. That doesn't count as a mashka. So Emer Reb Shimon Shazuri Omer yayin. No, what we mean to say is Reb Shimon Shazuri says. That Rabbi Shimon Shazuri holds that wine is a mashka, but shemen and dvash are not a mashka. Tanakama holds everything, that even dvash, even shemen. And Rabbi Shimon Shazuri limits it, and he says, no, only wine is really a mashka that becomes a rishon l'tumah when it touches a sheni l'tumah. So that's where Rabbi Hanina said that the halacha is Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, that yayin is considered a mashka, but shemen and dvash are not considered a mashka to be a mekabel tumah. So that is how Rashi explains this Gemara about the yayin and the shemen and the dvash. However, Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't understand. What's the discussion over here? Shemen is not a mashka? According to somebody, there's someone that holds shemen is not a mashka? Dvash is not a mashka? How could you say these things aren't mashkim? They're for sure mashkim. So Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos Dibra Maskil Ema explains, no, we're talking about if it's congealed and solidified. Does it still have a din of a mashka? So Rav Meir says that congealed oil, like you have in those prefabbed Hanukkah things, right? That's still considered a mashka. And the halacha is that if it touches a rishon l'tumah, it does not become a sheni l'tumah like a food would. Rather, it becomes a rishon l'tumah like a mashka would. And the chachamim add that even dvash shenikrash is considered a mashka. And then Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says yayin shenikrash is considered a mashka. The Rambam in the Perush from Shnayis in Maseches Taro says that we're talking about a mashka that became tamei when it was moist, when it was liquid, and then it congealed and solidified, and then it went back and melted and became liquefied again. So it keeps bouncing back and forth. So the Ram says that it's always not considered to be an ochel, it's always considered to be a mashka, and it's tamei as a rishon l'tumah. So Toz Yom Tov points out that if we're talking about a mashka that's solidified, so that, what was the Gemara's kasha? Mechlal de Tanakama Sovri Yayin lo. That how could it be that Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says afa yayin and Tanakama thinks that only shemen and only dvash but not yayin? It actually would be mistaver if we're talking about yayin that's solidified, because it could be that the Tanakama would hold that only shemen or dvash that has congealed and solidified is still considered a mashke, but yayin that's congealed and solidified is so badly ruined that it's not a mashke, that it's an ochel at that point. So that's what Tosfos points out. You understand why Rashi says we must be talking about in liquid form, because the kasha of the Gemara wouldn't make as much sense if we were talking about solidified item. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a brisa in the name of Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, and we want to know, do we pass like this too? So Tanya, Amr Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Pamach, Sinsayev Li Tevel B'chulin. One time I had Tevel, meaning Peros, that Trumas Maisos were not taken from, and it got mixed in with Peros that were Chulin, which means Peros that I already did take Trumas Maisos from, and the Allah is that on a daraisa level, It's batel. On a daraisa level, the tevel is batel as long as rov of the peros are chulin, rov of the peros are usarim, so there's no problem. But midrabanan, tevel does not become batel barov. Midrabanan, even a mashahu of tevel that's mixed in with a bunch of chulin, asers the entire tarovis. Why is that only, what's the basis of that din midrabanan? So the Mishnah in Chala, Perakimel, Mishnah Yud, says that this is the case, and the reason for it is explained, Tos points out, is explained in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Gimel, that just like the hetero shel tevel is b'mashahu, what's the shear of how much truma you need to take from tevel in order for it to be considered that truma was taken? Chita achas poteres is kalakri, one little stalk of wheat that will patter the entire silo of grain. So just like the hetero is b'mashahu, kach isuro b'mashahu, so too a mashu of tevel has the capacity to aser the entire thing. Then Tos says Yerushalmi has a different reason. The Yerushalmi says that the reason tevel on a drabanan level is going to ask for the entire taroves is that it's a davar sheish lo matirin, and this is like a yesod in yaradeya. It's like one of the basics in yaradeya, that a davar sheish lo matirin, that something that right now is aser but will become mutter or can become mutter in the future is ain't a batel, never becomes batel in a taroves. So that's the reason Yerushalmi gives. In fact, that's such a good reason, it's very curious why the Gemara didn't say that reason. What does it say? That because chita achas k'shem she'er hetero kach. What do you need that reason for? Okay, but whatever the story was, meaning whatever the reason is, the case is very clear that he's got a little bit of tevel mixed in with a whole bunch of chulin. Midrabanan, the whole thing is aser, but what he's supposed to do? He can't be mafresh meiser from this taroves, because it could be that the meiser that he's going to take out is whatever he takes out as the meiser, maybe from the peiros that are chulin, that are already gemeisered, and therefore it's not going to help to pata the tevel. So Basi Vishalti is Rabbi Tarfon. So I asked Rabbi Tarfon, what am I supposed to do? Va'amrali, and he said, Lech kach lecha minashuk, go buy demai from the market, meaning buy minashuk means go buy from an Amma Aretz, because an Amma Aretz, their peros are also chayiv and maisos midrabanan, so vasar alav, and take from the peros demai on this taroves, and that will cover it, because this taroves is only chayiv and maisos midrabanan, so you'll be taking from a drabanan on a drabanan. So kasavar, Rabbi Tafrin holds daraisa beruba batel, that on a daraisa level, the tevel already became batel berov, and the whole chayiv of maisos on this taroves is only midrabanan. Verov, amearetz maasrenein, and Rabbi Tafrin also holds that the demai is only chayiv midrabanan, because most Amearetz do take maestros, v'havalei, and therefore Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, who's mafresh from Demai on the Taroves, is ketori min ha-pater al-pater, that it's as if he took truma from that which is pater on that which is pater, because the tevel that's mixed in with the chulin and the Demai on the Doraisa level are both pater. So ask the Gemara, wait, why does Rabbi Tarfon say you need to come up with something that's only chayv in maestros midrabanan in order to solve this problem? So he suggests, go get some Demai. Why does he tell him to get Demai? Why doesn't he just tell him to go buy from a guy and take from that? Because Paris of Novik Chavim are also Pater Midaraisa from Meiser. They're only Chayiv Midrabanan in Meiser. So says Gemara, Kasavar in Kinilov Chavim Beritzolav Kiyamian Meiser. Rabbi Tarfon must hold that if Novik Chavim buys land in Eretz Yisrael, it has no impact on the Chiyiv of Meiser. The Chiyiv of Meiser on the Paris of that land is still going to be Min HaTorah. And therefore, Rabbi Tarfon couldn't say go buy from a guy. If you go buy from a guy, you're going to be buying produce that's chayiv min haTorah, and that's certainly not going to help you to cover your taroves, which is chayiv only midrabanan. Now v'havalei min achiyav al pater, right? And therefore you're going to end up being mafresh from that which is chayiv on that which is on that which is pater. Now the reason for the opinion that holds in kinlo v'chavim beretzol afkiyam yad meiser, that even when a guy buys land in Eretz Yisrael, it's still chayiv and meiser, the Gemara in Gittin explains, is because the pasuk says va'aretz lo timkar litzmisus kili ha'aretz, and Chazal darshan kili kedushas ha'aretz, that the kedushas ha'aretz is in God's hands, and the Ovid Chavim can do nothing about that. He could do nothing to remove the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. The Yerushalmi gives other reasons. Yerushalmi in Maseches Demai says, well, the same pasuk va'aretz lo timkar litzmisus kili ha'aretz means that mechira of a guy Goy is not going to be chal on it because it's a mechira letzmisus. It's meant to be permanent, and therefore it's not going to be chal. Or alternatively, the Yerushalmi says that it says by avadim v'snachaltem osam levnechem acharechem lereshes achuza. So the Torah itself links achuza, which is land, to avadim. So just like avadim, ma avadim atem konimehem veheimenim konimichem, just like you can buy avadim from Rav Chavim, but they cannot buy avadim from you, so to achuza atem konimehem veheimenim konimichem. Okay, so that's the basis for the shita of ein kini Rav Chavim beritzol af kia miyad meiser. Either what it says in Gittin, in Maseches Gittin, based on the puzzle of Simachar Tzmisos, or the two additional possibilities that it mentions in the Yerushalmi. Now Tosfos raises the question. He says, "Okay, granted, there's no kinyan for an Ovid Chavim to be mafkir miyad meiser. So the stuff that an Ovid Chavim has is chayiv in meiseros mida oraisa. However, there are other dinim that could still make it knock it down from being chayiv in meiseros. The halacha is that even if you never do a miruach hakri, if you never even out the pile of your grain, so the Chiyuv Maisos doesn't really set in until you do the Miruach HaKri. So the halacha is that if a goy is the one that does the Miruach HaKri, then it's Pater Midaraisa from Maiser. Reishis Degancha Tzirosh Kavitzarecha. So Chazal Darshan Degancha Digunecha. That it has to be a Miruach of Yisrael. V'lo Digunakum. It cannot be a Digun that's done by Ovdik Chavim. So couldn't Rabbi Shimon Shazuri have said, why don't you just go buy peros that were that from an Ovdik Chavim, where the Ovid Chavim himself did the digun? So granted, the fact that the Ovid Chavim owns the land, that doesn't take away the chiv trumas ma'isos. But as Tosfos, the fact that the Ovid Chavim processed the produce does take away the chiv trumas ma'isos. So don't we vayter avakasha that why didn't he just tell him to go buy from an Ovid Chavim? So Tosfos says, yeah, peros Ovid Chavim though are more similar to peros that are chayiv in ma'iser, because the Ovid Chavim does not have a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael to be mafkiyah miyad ma'iser, and that's why he didn't tell Rabbi Shimon Shazuri to be from peros that grew in an atzit she'enu nakuv, or grain tevuas chutz la'aretz that midaraisa is part from meiser, because essentially what Tosfos is saying is there aren't two categories, daraisa and drabanan. Within drabanans there are multiple categories. There are higher level drabanans, lower level drabanans, even lower level drabanans. So what he was trying to find, he was trying to calibrate the exact level of drabanan that you needed to match what you have. Meaning you have a tarov with Tevel and Chulin, that which is only Chayv and Maisros midrabanan, because on a Daraisa it's already batal. So you need to find something else that's not just a drabanan, but that's a similar level drabanan in order to be Mafresh Maisros on. Turiyevin in Maseches Megillah talks about this, because you have this by Megillah, that a trade drabanan being Motzi Echad drabanan. Right? Let's say you have, it comes up in Brachas, let's say an Isha is not Chayv in Birch Samazon let's say you have someone who's not chayiv in a mitzvah on a drabbanan level, but the reason that a person's not chayiv in a mitzvah on a daraisa level, they're only chayiv in a mitzvah on a drabbanan level. And then you have somebody else who's chayiv in a mitzvah also not on a daraisa level, but there are two reasons why the person's only chayiv on a drabbanan level. For example, you have an adult who ate less than a kedei svia. So they're only chayiv in benching midrabanan. Why? Because they ate less than a kedei svia. It's v'chalta v'savata uverachta. And you have a child who also ate less than a kedei svia. So can the child be motzi the adult? Well, the child is chayiv midrabanan in benching and not midaraisa for two reasons. He's not chayiv midaraisa. First of all, he's a child. And second of all, he ate pachas mikedei svia. So he's a lower level drabanan. So a lower level drabanan cannot be motzi a higher level drabanan. So that's what that's what the Tosfos points out. And Turiyev and elaborates is what's going on over here, that Rabbi Tarfon was trying to give an Eitza, not just to find something else that's Drabanan. Anyone can find produce that's Chayv Midrabanan, but to find the right kind of Drabanan. Ikeda Amri, Others say that what happened was that Amalei, Rabbi Tarfon advised Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Lech kach merov l'chavim, Tataka go buy from a Nachri, Kasavri yeshkin l'chavim b'ritzol, afkiyam yan meiser, because he holds that a Nachri actually does take, Nachri's ownership of land in Eretzol actually does take away the chiyuv on a daraisa level, v'avle min ha-pater al ha-pater, and therefore when you're mafresh from the produce that grew in a Nachri's property, it is from that which is pater midaraisa to cover that which is pater midaraisa. V'lemele kach me'ashuk. Well, according to that version, why didn't he tell him to buy from an Amma Aretz and get the Maya, and that way it will also be Durabanan on the Durabanan? Kasavar, Ein Rove Amma Aretz Ma'asin. Because Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion that most Amma Aretz do not take Maestros, and the Demaya is really Chayiv on the Doraisa level still. It's not only Chayiv on a Durabanan level, and that's why it wouldn't work. Shalach Le Rav Yemer Bar Shlomi and Rav Papa. Had Amar Ravin Bar Chidna Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Chanina. This comment of Rabbi Chanina that we've been talking about for the entire shir today and the end of the shir yesterday, that halacha Rabbi Shimon Shazuri v'lo ode l'kol makom sheshana Rabbi Shimon Shazuri halacha kamoso, that we always paskel like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri af b'nasayiv le'tevel b'chulin, is that true even in the case of that we just quoted of tevel getting mixed with chulin? Somebody in said yeah when we say everywhere we mean everywhere, even in the case that we just spoke about. Some Rav Ashi amali marzutra kasha ba Rabbi Chanina misura pshita. Rabbi Chanina Masura says, I don't understand what the conversation is. You know, someone says, we pass the Rabbi Shazuri everywhere. And he says, everywhere? Yes, everywhere. Meaning, what kind of conversation is that? So he says, Mi ka'amar b'mishnah seinu, ka'makam shashana ka'amar. So, what he was asking is that when Rabbi Chanina says that we always pass in like Rabbi Shazuri, did he mean only in Mishnayis? Or did he mean in Brises as well? Meaning, ka'makam shashana, does that mean only in Mishnayis? That which is in Brisa, maybe not like him. So that was the conversation. So now we're back to Hilchos Tam. So we had a little detour with Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. So now we go back to the halachas of Sefer Torah and Mezuzah. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Kara Kera Haba B'Shnei Shitin. If a tear comes in the parchment of a Sefer Torah and it goes between the letters, two rows of letters, Yitfar, you sew up that kera bishalosh, but if it goes three rows deep, al yitfor, then don't sew up that kera, rather remove the entire urea and bring another one in its place to replace the urea. There is a shaila, the Rosh in Hilchos Sefer Torah says that he asked Maram Rutenberg, his rabbi, if you could fix a tear that's nichnas bishalosh shuros by putting some glue behind the tear by gluing an extra piece of cloth behind the tear, by putting like a patch on the back of the Sefer Torah and thereby mending it in that way. So the Maram Rutenberg said, absolutely not. And he said two reasons. First of all, he says that a lot of people read from a Sefer Torah together. They used to learn from Sefer Torah. This one's pulling in that direction, that one's pulling in another direction. We don't trust glue. Second of all, he says that the Gemara is going to say that you're allowed to be tofer with Gidin, but not with Shar Chutim. That you're only allowed to be tofer a Sefer Torah with Gidin, but not with other threads and strings. So certainly, you know, just take glue and put that in a Sefer Torah. That we're very particular about what we use to mend a Sefer Torah. So that is what the Maram Rutenberg says. Now the Rosh himself, I think, disagrees. If I'm not mistaken, the Rosh says as Mestaver, that we should be matir fixing it even with glue. But anyway, so the Gemara says that if it's two rows deep, you can fix it. Three rows deep, replace it. So Amalei Rabba Zuta L'Ravashi Hacham Rabbi Yirmi Midivti Mishmei Derava Hada Amrin B'Shalosh Al Yitbar. That which we say that if the kara runs three rows deep, don't mend it. Lo Amarin El Ba'Atikasa. That's only if it's an old cloth, because an old cloth, it looks bad if you have a mended tear that's such a deep tear. Aval chadita less lemba, but if it's a new cloth, then there's no such halacha. It's not as maguna, it's not as disrespectful, and therefore it would be fine to mend it even if it's three deep. Velo atikasa atikasa mamish. And when we say old, we don't mean old. How would you measure old? Velo chadito chadito mamish. And when we say new, we don't mean new. Elahad delo afitzan hada afitzan. When we say a new cloth, it means one that has not been treated with gallnut juice. When we say an old klaf, it means one that the klaf has been treated with gallnut juice. And the reason is because when it's treated, it darkens the klaf, and the tear on a dark klaf is much more belate and is more disrespectful. Vahani mili, and this din that you're allowed to mend a tear is only begidin. You're only allowed to use the sinews of an animal or that is kosher. Aval begrudin, but if you can use other, loose strands from your beged or something, lo, you're not allowed to mend a tear in a Sefer Torah with such things. Vayrav Yehuda bar Abba, bein daf l'daf, bein shita l'shita, mai. What would be the halacha if the tear was between one daf and the next daf, and it was more than three deep, but it didn't enter in between the letters, or between one row and the next row, one line and the next line? What would the halacha be in such a case? So teku. So the Gemara says, we leave that unresolved. It's an ibay d'liv shita. So how do we pass on the halacha? The Rambam in Hilchas Tefillin v'Sefer Torah, Perek Tes, Halacha Tes Vav, says that, yeah, you could do that. You could mend it. The Tur says, no, you can't. Says the Beis Yosef, what are they arguing about? Well, the Gemara leaves it as a suffix. So the question is this isser of tearing, of mending a tear that goes three rows deep, is that an isser d'oraisa or is it an isser d'rabanan? If it's an isser d'oraisa and a mesupak, does it apply when it goes bin daf l'daf, bin shita l'shita, safik d'oraisa l'chumra? But if you hold that the whole thing is only an isser d'rabanan and a mesupak, so then safik d'rabanan is l'kula. The Bach writes not that way. He says that even the Torah holds that it's only a din d'rabanan and he's still machmir. Why would you be machmir if it's a din d'rabanan? Whatever happened to Savit Rabbanan Lakula? Because it's Kedusha Sefer Torah. We don't mess around with Kedusha Sefer Torah. There are some Rabbanans that are too serious to even rely on a Savit Rabbanan Lakula. So for Kedusha Sefer Torah, we're going to be extra strict. Now we move on to Mezuzah. Amrav Zi'iri, Amrav Hanan El Amrav, Mezuzah Shekesava Shtayim, Shtayim Kshera. If you have a Mezuzah where there are only two words on each line, it's kosher. So Yibayilu, Shtayim V'Shalosh V'Achas Mahu. What would be the din if there were two words on one line, three words on the next line, one word on the next line? What would the halacha be? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kol Shkein Sha'asa Kshera. That all the more so it's kosher because Sha'asa Kashira, because you made it like a shira. It looks like the style of writing of Az Yashir. So Meisvei. So they ask on Rav Nachman Yitzchak Asa Kashira. If you write in the style of shira, where there's weird spacing, O Shira Kamosa. Or you write that which is supposed to be a shira, like regular writing, psula. That's going to be psula. So aren't we talking about a mezuzah? So how could Rav Nachman Yitzchak say that if you write a mezuzah in the style of shira, that it's perfectly fine? We have a brisa that says that if you write a mezuzah in the style of shira, it's not okay. So it says more kitani hi b'sefer Torah. The brisa never told you what kind of stam we're talking about. The Brisa may have been talking about a Sefer Torah, that if you were to write Bereshis Bara Elokim in the style of a Shira, that's problematic. But a mezuzah kazantei, write a mezuzah whatever style you want. Maybe writing it with a Shira is perfectly fine. Itmar nami, Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Va'amri La, Amar Rav Acha Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mezuzah sha'asa, shtayim, v'shalosh v'achas. If you make a mezuzah with two words on one line, three words on the next line, one word on the next line, kshera, oblevach le'yasen kakuba, as long as you don't make it where it's wide at the bottom and narrow at the top, where you have one word on the first line, two words on the next line, three words on the next line, where it's like built like a pyramid, that would be not appropriate. Or vice versa, where you make it like an upside down pyramid, right? Where it's it comes where it's three words on the top line, then two words on the next line, then one word on the following line. That's not okay. But to make it like a shira would be perfectly fine. Amar Rav Chista al ha'aretz b'shita achrona. The words al ha'aretz, right? The parshas of the mezuzah conclude with "Man yirbu yimechem v'mei b'nechem al adama shenishpa Hashem lavseichem laseislam ki mei hashemayim al haaretz." So that's got to be on its own line. You don't write any other words on the last line of the mezuzah, just the words al haaretz. You have to space it in such a way where only the words al haaretz go on the last line. So ikita amri b'sof shita. Some say that you leave the beginning of the line blank and you put Ala Aretz all the way at the end of the line, which means it's directly under the words Kimei HaShemayim, right? Because Kimei HaShemayim Ala Aretz, and you're skipping, those are the words. So you're skipping the beginning of the line. So Ala Aretz is right under Kimei HaShemayim. V'igadami b'tchila shita. And some say, no. Ala Aretz should be at the beginning of the line, and you just never finish the line. That the last two words in the mezuzah are at the beginning of a line, and then the rest of the line is blank. So, and therefore it's not going under the words Kimei HaShemayim. So Mandi Amar Besof Shita, the opinion that holds that it's Besof Shita, that it's at the end of the line, and the words Kimei HaShemayim are right over the words Ala Aretz. That's because the Kegova Shemayim Ala Aretz. That the explanation of the pasuk is that just like Shemayim is Gavoa Me Ala Aretz, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us Arichas Yamim Ala Adama Asher Nishpa Lav Seichem L'Seis Lahem. That it's a bracha that we're going to have this Arichas Yamim on this land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to give to us. So Kigova Shemayim Ala Aretz. So we put the word Shemayim right over Ala Aretz. Like the gap between Shemayim and Aretz, which is this massive gap. That's how much time we should have, in the land that Hashem promised us. But the opinion that says that you put it at the beginning of the line and the words Kimei HaShemayim are very far away from Ala Aretz. Kiyechi demarachka Shemayim Aretz. Just like Shemayim and Aretz are rachok zemizeh, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be marich shenishmalav seichem laseislam. Should be marich our days in the land. That's how Rashi explains over here. The Marshal is quoted by the Taras HaKodesh that a mezuzah has two things. It's matzil marich yom of shel adam, and it's also marchik a person min avera. And maybe, we don't have time to get into it, but maybe that's what this machlokas is about. Which of those two is the ikur message of mezuzah? Okay, tomorrow Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Amar Rabbi Chelbo. Everyone have a wonderful day.